This morning I'd like to share with you a little bit about being a disciplined follower of Jesus. You know, in the society that we live in right now, discipline is something that many people don't know anything about. They live a life based on what they feel is right. And consequently, when they do get saved, they bring some of that mentality with them. This walk that we are called to walk is a walk of discipline. You don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus is answering, speaking to the Jews, and he's saying, if you want to be one of my disciples, that word if, it's contingent on everything that follows afterward. It's contingent. It's saying there's something that you have to do. In other words, you're not just automatically one of my disciples. There's things that you need to do. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's put a lot in my heart this morning, and I'm just wanting to yield over to him, to let him bring it out little bit by little bit, what he wants to share with you. So if we're going to be the disciplined follower, if you look up in Vine's Expository Dictionary, New Testament words, and you look up the disciple is not just the pupil, the student. The disciple is more than that. He's actually mimicking what he sees in the person that he's a disciple of. So it's more than just the student aspect of it. I don't want to just be a student. I want to replicate what I see in Jesus. I want to mimic whatever I see him do. I want to do that. So with that in mind, and you look in Matthew 4, and you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 4, what you see Jesus do is he spends 40 days in the wilderness fasting. Now I know for myself, when I first heard Pastor Dave speaking about fasting, the inside of me tightened up real tight. And the first thing I wanted to do was reject everything that was about to follow in terms of fasting. And I fought it for a while, I'll be honest with you. And then I let time go by and I didn't fast a whole lot. Occasionally I did. But when we came back into contact with the ministry in the late 90s, and Pastor Dave talked about fasting again. In the first part of the year, it was just like clockwork. First part of the year, it's fasting time. And again, I felt the inside of me tighten up when he talked about fasting in the first part of the year. And these were some of the thoughts that I had. I'm saved. Why do I have to fast? I'm going to heaven. Why in the world do I need to fast? Fasting does not affect your going to heaven. The blood of Jesus, that is what you need to go to heaven. The thief that was on the cross next to Jesus, Never fasted a day in his life. Never prayed in tongues a day in his life. He went to heaven. So what we're talking about here, whenever I mention fasting, I'm not talking about this as something to help keep you saved. We don't teach here about how to help keep you saved. There's a lot of good churches that you can go to learn about how to help keep you saved and going to heaven. What we strive to do here, week after week, is to show you how to offer yourself up to become one of his disciples. That's what we do. How you can offer yourself up voluntarily. There's absolutely no condemnation. If you say, I refuse to fast, no condemnation. Praise God. You go to heaven and you're fine. But I know there are some of you that are like I am. And you've gotten past those initial gut-wrenching thoughts about fasting like I had. And you realize, I want to offer myself up. I want to be his disciple. I want to change. I don't want to be the same way. And voluntarily, I want to do this. No, it's not going to affect whether I go to heaven or not. I know that. It's not going to make me more righteous than another person. No. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You already are. This doesn't make you more righteous. But what this will do is help you to become one of his disciplined followers. What this will do, and however much you do it, some people, and I'm going to share this at the beginning because it's so important, how much time you fast, how many days, what you decide to fast, don't be legalistic about it. This is an instruction of grace. It's an instruction of grace. You can do this. You don't have to, but you get to. It's all in how you look at it. Is the cup half full of water or half empty? You don't have to do this. You get to do this. This was what God had put in place for us to help us. It wasn't that he said, do this, you rotten bunch of children of mine. No. He said, here, I'm presenting this to you. This is something that I want you to do. That's what Jesus was sharing with them whenever the disciples of John said, look, we fast often, and the Pharisees fast often, but you're a bunch of followers, they don't fast at all. And Jesus said, well, you know, while the bridegroom's with them, they're not going to have to fast, but when he's gone, then they will fast. And so many times the churches want to look at that, and it's like they think, well, he's not talking about me there. Jesus said, when I'm gone, then they will fast. So there has to be something here for us. Whether or not you take advantage of it is totally your choice. And there's no condemnation if you don't. You know, he's ingrained it in me. Pastor Dave has ingrained it. At the first part of the year, I want to fast. I want to get myself in tune with what God wants to do this year in my life. I want to know. I want to be so in tune with him. At the beginning of this year, that He can orchestrate everything in my life. That's what I want. And I know as I look around this group, there are so many of you. You have that same churning inside, that hunger, that insatiable hunger for more of God. So I know I'm preaching to the choir here. So many of you want to do this. It's not like going to a lot of churches where, you know, you mention this and my goodness, they'd throw you out and call you a heretic and everything else. That's not the group I'm talking to. I'm talking to people here. You realize that there's a mandate on this church. We're going as far as we can into God to receive a revival. I don't believe that you're going to make that trip as far into God as possible without incorporating some facet, some portion of fasting. Now, I know there are people here and the people in the sound of my voice listening over the internet. You know, I don't take medication. I don't have to. Some of you do. Absolutely don't do anything without consulting a doctor. And don't be foolish. For myself, I don't have a need to. I don't have medication. I'm a perfectly healthy person. So what I fast, the way I go into fasting, it may be different than yours. It's like I was sharing this with Debbie this morning. Now, my body has not gone through cancer. It's not gone through chemotherapy and radiation. It's not gone through those things as her body has. So for her to think that her capacity for fasting is like mine would not be correct. This is what I shared with her, and I really believe it was the Holy Ghost. At whatever level that you're physically able to fast, if you fulfill that level, you're going to get the optimum result for your fasting. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, that takes all the pressure off of thinking, well, I'm going to have to fast 20, 30, 40 days. If you're not physically able, that would be ridiculous. But whatever capacity you can, whether it's a Daniel fast, where you don't stop eating, you just don't eat things that are pleasant. Oh, I can just see the faces here. Let me say that one more time. I mean, the grimaces. I mean, after a whole season of feasting, and now this guy's standing in front of me telling me not to eat pleasant things. There is a Daniel fast. And you don't have to stop cold turkey from food. You can continue to enjoy to put food in your mouth. It just might not be the most pleasant thing. It might not be the thing that your soul craves for. But if you want results and you want to work within the parameters that your physical body will allow you, you can do something. If you want to. If you want to. It's totally by grace. There's no condemnation. There's no one is standing up here right now beating you with a stick and telling you you're rotten if you don't. Absolutely not. I love all of you. You all are going to heaven. All I'm saying to you is this. Here is something that is available to you to help you. What you do with it, it's your choice. It's like this. Here's an example for you. If you have a flat tire on your car, you can go out with a mallet and try to beat that flat tire off. And beat it 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 and beat it. endlessly. Or you can go out there with a lug wrench, a tool designed to help you remove the tire from the car. Take that tire off, get it fixed, put it back on, and you're in business. Here's a tool designed to help you. And all I'm saying to you is, here it is. It's fasting. Now, for some of you, you're the person with the mallet. You have dealt with things in your life, strongholds, forever. And here you are, got that mallet. You are beating that tire, trying to get it off. And you come and you want counseling. How do I get this off? Can you lay hands on me and get this off? Here, dear brother, dear sister, is a tool that you can use. And put the mallet away. It's not working anyway. And here, take this lug wrench. And you will get the results that you want. Oh no, I don't want to do that. That sounds legalistic to me. I'm not doing that. I'm saved, don't you know it? Yes, you are saved. But at some point, you are going to get tired of chasing your tail spiritually. Praying in tongues, as wonderful, as great as it is, will not give you necessarily the exact same results as you can get fasting. I believe it accelerates the whole process where you're praying in tongues and it's taking you along a course, and there are those times that you struggle and you feel like I'm not progressing, and I'm here's Pastor Dave's example. I feel like I'm hitting something. Sure, you're hitting something. It's that stronghold that's been there since you were 10 years old, 12 years old, who knows how long. And that praying in tongues is making you beat against that. And here's how you get past it. You incorporate some fasting, however much you need to get to the other side of that stronghold and to put that stronghold down once and for all. Kill that thing. So many of you, you keep it, that whatever that is, at bay. You're just keeping it at bay. Realize this. Keeping it at bay only works until the pressure exceeds your ability to keep it at bay. That was good. That was good. You're keeping it at bay only works so long. Once the pressure from the enemy exceeds your ability to keep it at bay, guess what? You're in trouble. And that's what Jesus goes on to talk about in Matthew chapter 9. So let's go over there and look at that. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 14. Just read through that. Matthew 9:14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft?" That means often. "But thy disciples fast not." And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." Brothers and sisters, that is the day that we live in. And then Jesus goes on here in verse 16 and 17. And he explains the benefit of fasting. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Before I heard Pastor Dave expound on this, I had not a clue what Jesus was saying. It was like he was speaking Greek and I was reading it in English. No man puts a piece of new cloth unto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up takes from the garment, and the rent's made worse. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runs out and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Okay, Jesus, thank you for telling us all about fasting. Thank you. I completely understand everything that you said there about fasting. It's like reading hieroglyphics. Until Pastor Dave broke it. Once he broke it, it's like the light comes on, perfect understanding of what he's saying. You don't take a new cloth when you have a rip in your old clothes and try to sew that new cloth in there, because eventually the rip's going to be made worse. You don't take new wine and pour it into old wineskins, because when that fermentation takes place, the pressure against that wineskin gets to the point it can't stand it and it bursts. And Jesus is saying, that's exactly what we have to do with you when you're born again. It's the equivalent of sewing that patch of new cloth on that old clothes. It's the equivalent of pouring that new wine into that old wineskin. Why, Jesus? Well, there's something interesting that happened to me when I became born again. That morning that I said yes to Jesus, and he stepped inside and he made me a brand new person, that morning I did not step out of this body and go to heaven and get my glorified body. I didn't do it. As you can see, I'm still here. Think about that. When you got born again, that morning, you became a new person inside. And wouldn't it have been nice if you just got born again and stepped out of this old flesh, received your glorified body and went to heaven, and that was the end? Now, why in the wide world didn't that happen? Folks, we're here for one reason: to be his disciples, to be his disciplined followers in the earth. We're here because he wants a family, and he wants us to be the people that go out and win more children into his family. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. Forget about all that the world tries to tell you about why you're here. That is the reason that you are here. That's it. Otherwise, Jesus, I wish you would have just let me lay this body down and taken me to heaven when I got saved. Think about that. He didn't. He left you here in this body, and it was the equivalent of what he was saying in that verse. It was as if you poured new wine into old bottles. But here's the good thing. Because he was talking about fasting, and he was saying, If you fast, it is the equivalent of changing out, follow me, that old wineskin to a new wineskin. That old cloth to a new cloth. So that there is no spillage. So that there is no bursting of the bottle. When the pressure comes on, there's no burst. As we've seen time and time again with people that God has poured Himself through, and they did nothing to change out that old bottle to a new bottle. They did nothing to do that. And as a result, when the pressure came, there was a bursting and the new wine poured out for all the world to see. And then here's what happens. That's what those Christians are all about. You see all that trash? That's what it means to be a Christian. No, it's not. That was never His intention. Never. He intended for us to change this old wineskin out. To change that cloth out to a new cloth. As much as we could do while still in this physical body. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8 was written by a man who said, you know, I have to look this up. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, that he fasted often. Often. Fastings often. So in Romans 8, verse 10, and if Christ be in you, okay, how many of you is Christ in you? Yes, hands are going up everywhere. Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Positionally speaking, that moment, 24 years ago, that I bowed my knee to Jesus, this body, positionally, it died. Now I can tell you, it's very much thinking that it's alive right now. And there are things still, after fasting, after praying, after all the things I've done spiritually, there are still things inside of me that I don't like. There's still things there. I don't want anything there that's going to hold God up from pouring His glory through me to be a blessing to other people. Not for my glory, for the glory flowing through me to bless other people. To see other people changed. To see other people healed, delivered, set free. Because once again, that's what my purpose is for being here. Being one of His disciples. That's what my whole focus in life should be. How to turn myself over as much as I can to deliver to Him everything that He needs, that He can pour Himself through me to bless others. And here's the motivating force. It's because people like this man right here, I want to love him. I want that compassion so strong inside of me that I'm willing to do what I don't want to do because of my love for him, to bless him. Do you see that? It's very simple. There's nothing selfish about this. There's nothing. We're not here trying to make statues unto ourself. It's all about others. It's all about the love that we have for others. It's all about the compassion that's growing on the inside of you. That compassion wants to bless other people. And so what Jesus is saying to us is, look, when I'm gone, this compassion that I flowed in, you can flow in this. And it's this love that's going to be that catalyst to take you to a place that you're going to want to get rid of all the junk inside of you so that I can flow through you and bless other people. I thank God that He did it. I thank God that He equipped us with a tool so that we could lay our mallet aside and take the right tool for the right job and get the right results. He did it for us already. And how much of the church is totally oblivious to it? And you talk about it and it's works. Folks, works is when you're trying to work your way into righteousness. That's not this. As I said already, you're not trying to work yourself into being more righteous. You right now are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not earning anything. The only thing you're doing is placing yourself in a position where He can flow through you. Let's look at Romans 8, 10 again. Christ being you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So that's the other positional truth. You right now are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Positionally, that's where you are. You are victorious. You are more than a conqueror. That's where you are. That's who you are. No, Brother Mark. See, I'm still walking on this earth. I'm still just a slimy little worm. No, you're not. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are seated in heavenly places, but I don't feel that way. You have to stop going by how you feel and go by what the Word of God says that you are. If you're ever, ever going to see progress, you've got to stop going by how you feel and strictly focus on what the Word of God says about you. Take that and that alone and get rid of all of those thoughts about how wormy you are, how much of a slime you are, how bad you are. Forget about that. Positionally, you are seated in heavenly places. Well, how do I enforce that? Praying in tongues, meditating the Word, worship, spending time in His presence. So just as those things enforce or execute that positional truth as you of you being seated in heavenly places, fasting executes the first positional truth, that your body is dead because of sin. Once again, you don't have to do any of it. If you have received the blood washing of Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. I'm trying to show you that this is how you can be His disciple. This is how you can mimic the Master and see the same results that He had walking in this earth. How many of you want to see that? I do. I want to see the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the maimed be made whole. When I see the commercials of the men coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq missing limbs, I want to see those limbs grow out. I want to see. I want to be there laying the hand on them. I want to lay my hand on them and I want to see their arm come back out. I want to see those legs come back out. I am tired of seeing artificial limbs. I want to see real body parts. And some of you in your mind right now, you're thinking, you're way out there, Mark. No, I'm not. That's what Jesus did. And if I'm a disciple, I'm a disciplined follower, I'm going to mimic what he did. So I'm going to lay hands on him just like he did, and I want to see those results. Well, I don't see him right now, Mark. Well, I'm not at that place yet, but I'm pressing toward that mark. Philippians 3. So go over there. It must be the next scripture. Philippians 3. I really like this part in Philippians 3. I really, really like it. Paul begins, and I'm not going to have time to read the whole thing. You know it pretty well. He begins by giving his pedigree, his credentials, everything that he had as a Pharisee of the Pharisee, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. Then he says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 8, he counted all of that stuff that everyone in that time period would look at and say, oh my, that is so amazing. You are some kind of a person. That's what they thought of a man like Paul. And he said, well, you might think that, but to me, I count all of those accomplishments, all of those things, the equivalent of a pile of manure. That's what they mean to me. But Paul, you were raised at the feet of Gamaliel. You were taught by the master. You were taught the ways of the law. Nobody knows the law like you, Paul. You're one of a kind. You're special in comparison to this. In comparison to what my Master Jesus has done for me. All of that stuff is nothing more than a pile of manure. Everything that this world tells us is important, that's contradictory to Jesus and what Jesus has called us to do, to you, should be nothing more than a pile of manure. What should be the focus? What should be the heart cry that you have for life, for existing here? Because remember, he left you here for a purpose. He didn't take you off to heaven when you got saved. He left you here for a purpose. I want to fulfill that purpose alone. Nothing else. That purpose. Philippians 3. I want to continue on there. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If, everyone say if, remember what I said at the beginning, when Jesus said, if you do this, Paul's saying the same thing. It's contingent. If by any means I might. It's within the realm of possibilities. If I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That word resurrection in verse 11 is not the same Greek word used in verse 10. The one in verse 11, as you read it, in the dictionary that takes the Greek words and lines them up with the actual words there, you'll see that resurrection, it says not resurrection, or excuse me, out resurrection, meaning the moment that Jesus stepped his feet out from his time in hell, and he had total victory over everything. Total. Paul is saying, I am striving to attain to that place where I am free from everything that he redeemed me from. Everything. All of these strongholds in this old wineskin. I am free from them. And he goes on here. And he says, jump down a few verses. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This high calling isn't the high calling of being the greatest prophet, the greatest apostle, the greatest teacher. This calling is, I have reached that place where I have become conformable to his death. I have poured myself out to the point that I have reached that place of that out resurrection, where I am seeing myself at that place where Jesus stepped out. He had total victory. He gave it to me. I have put so much of this old wineskin to death. Exercise this positional truth. It's dead, folks, but you have to press towards something. There's a pressing here. And he recognized it. And that's why he said in 2 Corinthians that I fast often. Think about what this man endured. All of the hardships that were associated with his following the path that Jesus had laid out for his life. All those hardships. Well, I don't want hardships in my life. I don't think anybody does. And when I think about, do I want my feet broken two or three times? Where they take me and they turn me upside down and they put my feet in stocks and they sit there and they just beat it and beat it and beat it till every bone in my feet are broken. I don't want that. But notice when those things happened, he walked away. He didn't crawl away on his knees. The man walked away. When he was in the deep, think about this. The water was over his head, bobbing up and down in the deep. I would be wondering, what in the world am I doing here? But there was enough of Jesus working in the man. There was enough of that old wineskin that had been changed out for the new, that when he's bobbing up and down in the water, I don't know, but I think he was probably worshiping the Lord. Thanking God for the victory. Paul, you don't look very victorious bobbing up and down in the water. Yeah, but I'm going to get to the other side of this. This is not the end for me. I'm walking through this because I've changed out the old wineskin. I've changed it out. And I'm walking through this. I'm walking through the beatings. I'm walking through the imprisonment. I'm walking through all of this until I get to that point where I have fulfilled my place in this earth and I have done everything that Jesus called me to do, why he left me here, why he left me in this earth, why he didn't take me to heaven, why he didn't clothe me in my new body, but he left me here for a reason. It wasn't bigger cars and VCRs and bigger houses and greater jobs and more money. Fooey on that stuff. The only reason money is in this earth is to get people saved. That's it. And if you've got a greater job, praise God for it. Realize why you have that greater job. To funnel money into the gospel. Because that's why He left you here. Otherwise, just take me to heaven now. I'm ready to go. Because this earth, I have news for you. To me, I have little use for it. Other than to get more people in my Father's family. That's it. I'm getting to the place I can't see anything else. I can't see anything else. And I realize that we have things, we have responsibilities. Don't get me wrong, please. I'm not saying to disregard the responsibilities of life. But at the same time, don't allow the responsibilities of life to consume you to the place that you forget why in the world you're here. Why did He leave you? Isaiah 58. And we're not going to get into it because we don't really have time. But verses 1 through 5 of Isaiah 58 tells you all the things about fasting that the religious people have in their minds about fasting. That's all it is. Verses 1 through 5 tell you, these are all the things that religious people think. Pharisees, the Pharisaical attitude, that's this. Verse 6, now this is the real thing. And what we want to see here, this is the fast that was chosen for Jesus. Now because I am His disciplined follower, likewise this is the fast chosen for me. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. A lot of people that have the mentality that fasting is only associated with deliverance ministries, let me help you with this. He is as equally talking about breaking off the yokes from yourself. From yourself. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Let's stop there for a second. How in the world do you hide from your own flesh? How do you do that? You stick your hand behind your back? How do you hide yourself from your own flesh? It's when you think that there's nothing there inside of you that needs to be gotten rid of. That's when you're hiding yourself from your own flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, those strongholds are there. If they weren't, we would see right now all around you people flocking to you because the glory of God is manifesting through you, and the lame are walking all around you. We're all at different levels, different places. I'm not where Pastor Dave is. I'm not where Gary or Tim is. I'm where I am. And I know that there are still things inside of me that need to be dealt with. And I know that fasting is a means in which I can deal with those things. I don't have to. I can stay the same ugly person that I am right now the rest of my life. Still thinking odd against people at times that I shouldn't. Still having things going on inside of me that shouldn't. I'll still go to heaven. But that's not why I moved from South Florida to Tulsa, Oklahoma, just so I could go to heaven. That's not why I moved here. I moved here for a reason. Because I saw in a man a message that would take me to a place that I hunger inside to go to. I want to go to that place. I want to go to that place where the glory of God flows through me and blesses people, multitudes of people. I want to see gold fillings fill their mouth. I want to see those white eyes turn crystal clear again. I want to be that first person, that blind person that's never seen a day in their life, opens their eyes and they look at you. And they look at me. And it's not me. It'll be that opportunity to say, no, it's the Jesus in me. He's the one that did this for you. Let me lead you to Him. Let me increase my Father's family by another person, and another person, and another person. Because that's why He left me here. To be His disciple. And that's what I'm going to be. Let's go on. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. I could stop right there. Your light shall break forth like the morning. Isn't that, do you not want that? My light breaks forth as the morning. Thine health springs forth speedily. I'm not going to go into details with it, but there are physical benefits with fasting. I have done some research. I'm not going to talk about it right now. You can do your own research. Go on the internet. Just do a search for benefits of fasting. Now be careful, because the world's found out that there are health benefits with fasting. So you may see something by a mystic, which I saw, or by something from a person that's an earth poet. Don't look at that stuff. I found something by an actual physician who does this on a regular basis with people. And the results, high blood pressure went down. Insulin levels stabilized. You know the reason why insulin in your body, those people that are diabetics, it's insulin resistance. Fasting will help you according to what that doctor said. Don't quote me. But in this area, he had clinical studies that showed these results. So there are health benefits. Why do I say all that? Not because fasting, I want you to do it because of the health benefits. It's a side benefit. It'll help you. The reason that you fast is to change that old wineskin into a new one. That's why you do it. Hey, if I get some health benefits, if I lose a little bit of weight, and I get rid of some of this junk in my body, praise God for it. But that's not why I do it. I do it because I want His glory to flow through me. All right, let's go on. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory, here you go, of the Lord shall be thy protection. I want that glory being my protection. I want the glory of the Lord to flow through me to be a blessing to others. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt. Nobody wants that. And it isn't because you talked Him into something. He wants to do it all the time. It's because you have dealt with the thing that stopped Him from being able to answer you, because there was a level of unbelief there. As elusive as it was, you didn't know it was there, but it was there, and it was the reason that those prayers weren't being answered. And finally, you got over that thing, and He said, finally, I can do it. And those prayers are getting answered. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. If thou take from thee the midst the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking of vanities. Those are bad things. Those are what the Pharisees were doing in the verses 1 through 5. They were saying, you got problems. I'm okay, but it's you. You got problems. I'm okay. Let's go on very quickly. Verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Who doesn't want that? And make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and a spring of water whose waters fail not. You're that spring. That source of life will pour out of you to others. It'll pour all over them. They'll want what you have. Think about that. Going up to a person who is set in his ways, and you can pour that living water. It just flows out of you. Unrestricted. Flows out. And they're like, oh, I want what you have. Verse 12, and then we'll have to switch real quick. Stick with me. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Keep that in mind. Turn over real quick. I'm about to run out of time. Chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord. Now tell me, does this sound anything familiar? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We all know. That's exactly what Jesus said, and he said, I'm here fulfilling this. So we know. We know this is about Jesus. We know he's speaking about Jesus. Now look at the next verse. And they shall build the old waste places. Doesn't that sound exactly what's back in chapter 58 and verse 12? And they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. This is speaking about the fast of Jesus in chapter 58. And consequently, as a disciple, as a disciplined follower of the Master, this is the fast that he has provided for us. Do with it what you will. It's your choice. It's your choice. But always remember, there is going to be that day when you stand in front of him and you give an account for why it was that you didn't change out that old wineskin. Remember that. You'll give an account for your life when you stand in front of him. I'm not saying that you're not going to get there. You're going to get there. Glory to God. You're going to be standing there looking him in the face, smiling all big. And he's going to look at you and he's going to say, okay, Mark, now, did you see where I talked about in that day they would fast? No, Jesus, I didn't look at that verse. You didn't. Well, I told you if you would have done that, you could have changed out that old wineskin and I could have flowed through you and I could have done exactly why I left you in the earth to do. Keep that in mind. We'll see you in 25 minutes.